All right, let's get you out to America's Radio Newsline. Standing by is Victor Davis Hanson. He's a senior fellow in classics and military history at the Hoover Institution, Stanford University, and the author of 17 books on ancient military and social history. Victor Davis Hanson, welcome to America's Radio News.
Thank you for having me.
Sir, I wanted to get your general reaction to yesterday's news of the death of Muammar Gaddafi and how it fits in history. I do know that he is the longest-serving despot on the African continent.
Well, it's good news for the United States. It's more in the vein of Milosevic and Saddam. It would have been nice if had they saved him from the mob, but when you don't have boots on the ground, we're not really involved in that war in the way we were in Afghanistan or the Balkans or Iraq, but it's still good news to get rid of him.
Right. So it was pretty much he sort of led a lawless dictatorship, and then he sort of ended his life in a lawless manner. You know, apparently it seems he may have been beaten, dragged, shot by the mob of armed men.
Yeah,
that's what we're hearing.
I think that's what worries everybody, because the moment he died was the new dawn of Libya, but the new dawn of Libya started with a bunch of mob-like people screaming Allah Akbar as they tore apart somebody without a trial.
Right, which is what I was leading to was, you know, are they more likely to end up with another dictator?
Yeah, I think that's the query, because if you want to get involved like Afghanistan and Iraq, you can control the type of government. Karzai is not a dictator. Maliki is not a dictator. But if you don't want to get involved and you want to save blood and treasure, and there's arguments for that as well, then you have no control whatsoever on the events on the ground. And we don't know whether this thing's going to be Somalia on the Mediterranean. We really don't.
We're talking with Victor Davis Hanson. He's a senior fellow in classics and military history at the Hoover Institution. And Mr. Hanson, you know, let's bring it back here to the decision. Now, a lot of folks are heralding the Obama administration. We have talked to Vice President Cheney in the past, asked him about the use of drones to get a lot of these high-profile terrorists, Anwar al-Awlaki, you know, the Osama bin Laden raid that was authored by this administration, and now we have the death of Muammar Gaddafi. Mr. Cheney was quick to point out that a lot of these assets the president is using were developed and paid for and put into practice by the Bush administration. But does Mr. Obama get a lot of credit for it, at the very least, utilizing these things to great effect?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he had a brilliant intuition. He realized that all during the 2003 to 2007 period, when he, Harry Reid, everybody from Michael Moore and Cindy Sheehan said tribunals were constitution thrashing, Guantanamo was a stalag, Iraq, you know, the whole writ against predators, preventative detention. He realized that when he came into office, A, that they were going to be necessary to keep the United States safe, and B, that that had all been partisan, it hadn't been principled. And the moment he was president, that would all become orthodoxy, and it has, and there is no more anti-war movement. Nobody's out in the street upset that Obama has killed 2,200 people as judge, jury, and executioner through predator drones. So that's an artifact now of the 2000s, the Bush administration, the idea that waterboarding three confessed terrorists makes you a war criminal, and killing 2,000 that are suspected terrorists and everybody in their vicinity does not. Obama knew that, and he was brilliant in the way that he just continued the Bush-Cheney nexus.
But those waterboardings might have been only a few people, but they were hundreds of times. So,
would you rather be waterboard or have your whole family blown up on the suspicion of being a terrorist?
Well, it certainly wouldn't be a choice I would want to have to make.
Yeah.
Well, I think that by any moral standard, waterboarding three confessed terrorists that admitted to help killing 3,000 people is very different than blowing up somebody in a mud brick house in Waziristan and his children, anybody in the house on the suspicion that he's a suspected terrorist.
My only
point is that there's no criticism of that, because Obama was brilliant in understanding that the anti-war critique of the Bush administration was not principled. It was partisan, and he knew that. And that's why he's doing it, and it's keeping us safe, so I have no objection to it.
Absolutely. All right, well, back to Libya, as the situation at hand here, can it get worse than having a leader who basically authorized terror attacks on the U.S., even though we played a key role in their liberation?
Well, that was 20 years ago, and 24 years ago, 25 years ago. Yeah, it's kind of strange, because Gaddafi was a monster in rehab. His son was giving art shows in London. He was bringing Harvard professors over to Tripoli. He wasn't quite like Saddam Hussein. He only had 6 million people there. He'd given up his WMD, and then suddenly he became a monster again. And that was hard for, that kind of jarred everybody. We're all glad that he was gone, but it begs the question, why Mubarak and him and not Assad and Ahmadinejad? They have ongoing unrest as well. Assad has got millions in the street. He's killing them. Ahmadinejad in 2009 had a million people,
and
we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything. So I think the administration is going to have to come out and have a doctrine and say, here's where we act and here's where we don't. Is it a question of national security? Is it a question there's an indigenous insurgency going on? How much is going to cost? But right now, there's no predictability or continuity.
And using history as the guide, Mr. Hansen, the president was quick to point out that Libya's message sends a message to the rest of the Middle East and other dictators. Who do you think might be most probable to be next?
Well, I think Bashar Assad is terrified because he's seen Saddam, he's seen Gaddafi, and he understands that he's got the same type of insurgency right under his nose. And he doesn't. And Europe, the United States, are starting to focus on him. And he's got a real problem.
All right, Victor Davis Hansen. Of course, he is a senior fellow in classics and military history at the Hoover Institution, Stanford University, and the author of 17 books on ancient military and social history. He's an expert by any definition. That's why we have him here on America's Radio News. Mr. Hansen, a pleasure talking with you, sir.
Thank you.
You betcha.